Hey guys, welcome to another week of Autastic. These are your hosts. I am Kirk Smith, and this is...
I'm Graham Kay.
Graham Kay, the illustrious Graham Kay, is on the road once again making that cheddar. Making that money. I like it. And waiting for your green card to get approved.
Mostly not making money. Mostly I'm at my parents' house saving money. Ooh. Waiting for my green card to get mailed to me. So that's pretty... I'm Canadian. If you're a new listener, if you're wondering why I don't have a thick accent and I'm waiting for my green card,
Graham is one of these sneaky Northerners that keeps coming across and taking our jobs. I'm joking.
Yes.
There's so many funny comedians from Canada.
There are, and am I one of them, Kirk?
Yes. I don't know if I told this story on the podcast, but when I came to LA, I met you. I met like 10 funny Canadian comedians. You, Eddie De La Seppi, Deborah DeGiovanni, who else? Mm. David Mehresh, Alex Pavone. Who am I missing? I'm missing a bunch here. I met like 10 guys. Matt O'Brien's out here. His wife, Julia, is very funny.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is everybody in Canada really funny? What's happening? Turns out those are the people that get green cards. I went to an open mic in Vancouver. No, the ones that aren't funny stay home. That's what happens.
Really, you can't qualify. I'm eating a lot of good food. I'm not going out a lot. I'm saving. You know what I mean? I'm just like.
It's good, dude. You're resting. You're resting.
I'm resting. I'm about to go for a jog after this by the Ottawa River.
Wow, that sounds nice, actually. You know? Guys, this is Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I have an autistic son in my life who I love very much, who is now 18. 18 is a big boy. And Graham, tell us about your brother.
I have a 33-year-old brother who's autistic, and he's on the, I guess, I mean, you say, I don't know what end of the spectrum, who the hell knows, but he can sort of live on his own and sort of not, and he's the best.
Pete, we get a lot of letters, people saying, we like hearing from Pete and hearing about JJ. Yeah, Pete's one of the, I'd call him one of the cast members of this little show.
He is.
Yeah.
Pete, he's been, we have him on every year to talk about the newest Star Wars movie. You know, he's got letters from Pete every once in a while.
Yep.
Yeah, he's the best. He's killing it right now. It's Easter here, at the time of this recording, and we had sort of a family get-together, like extended family, and Pete loves doing that and gets to eat a whole bunch of food and have so many desserts, like unlimited dessert, which is what he loves. And
in fairness, everybody loves that.
Pete had a couple beers, a couple brewskis, and the next morning forgot that he had like three giant pieces of tiramisu. It was a big day. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
This week, my week in review, this came up last week. I forgot to mention this, but when I was in Sweden, my son had epileptic seizure. He gets those from time to time. What he gets is, I think it's called a grand mal. You know, Frank was had a different name for it. So I've heard a couple different names.
Frank was a guest in the last episode. Yep. He had a Frank. He was a writer at Sesame Street, and his son had epileptic seizures like once a week, I believe he said.
Yeah, these will go out in order, so you should hear that right before this. But he said little ones and big ones. So the little ones are a little bit harder to detect, right? Like the grand mals are when your eyes roll back in your head and you kind of shake on the floor violently, you know, and you fall down from what you're doing. And so those are a little bit of the scarier ones, I think, because if you're standing erect and you fall over on your face, you can really hurt yourself. You know, if you catch the corner of a coffee table with your forehead or something, you could...
Oh, I don't even want to think about that.
Serious injuries happen. And so it was a scary thing. You know, he was at home on his computer doing his business. He's got a lot of business work needs to get done. And
absolutely. He's a businessman. He's a little businessman.
Very busy businessman. Mm-hmm. What business are you in? The business of business. We're doing business. Yeah. Just businessing, you know, just business. And
a lot of YouTube business. My brother does the same.
His YouTube videos aren't going to watch themselves. Yep. And so, so he kind of slid out of his chair. And, you know, that stuff's scary, scary stuff. So the latest thing is we're trying to get him in for I forgot the name of this, but it's some sort of scan. It's not a CAT scan. It's some sort of mental scan that they can do for detecting this stuff. And so, yeah, that's the next thing for JJ. That's my little week in review.
To scan to see what?
Well, they can I don't understand exactly because I'm not a doctor.
No, we are not doctors or scientists, as you listeners know.
Spoiler alert, not a doctor, despite my handwriting. But they can scan it, and then I think there are different options for, you know, I've heard of people, I think one of the things is some people get a chip, you can get a chip put in your head, and I don't understand exactly how it works. Again, not a doctor, but they can reduce the seizures. Because the seizures are scary, you know, he doesn't drive, but if you imagine you drive a car and you have a seizure, well, then that's why it's hard to get a driver's license if you have epilepsy. So, yeah, but even if you just fall on your face, you know, that's it's a big problem. If you're walking out in the street and you fall from 6 feet in the air, your face falls right in the cement. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So there's a new, I think it's called, I can look it up. Vagus nerve stimulation. That, anyway, I don't want to start plugging these things that I'm sure there's a couple different ones, but there's a brain chip that can help predict and stop seizures. But anyway, so that's my week in review. So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's exciting though.
Yeah. I think, you know, knowledge is power. So try to get the information to help them out, protect them. And so that's good.
My goodness. And I mean, obviously, that's a farther way. Let's just state the obvious. That's a way more intense week in review than my brother eating too much tiramisu.
But that's why this podcast works. We're two different experiences. Yeah. If we both had the same thing, my son has seizures this week. My brother had seizures this week. It can be a very boring podcast.
So he's had them in the past, these seizures?
Yeah, he had a really scary one, a big one at 18. So the small ones, I'm less versed than Frank is, and I'm less sure about those. But the big ones, you know, 100% he's having a seizure. You know, mm-hmm. So.
And are you worried? Should he wear a helmet? What's going on?
Well, that's the thing. If he has a seizure once a year, do you wear a helmet 365 days? I don't know. That's a tough call.
Yeah.
Or once every, yeah. Yeah.
And is he going to... What do the doctors say?
Is he going to be willing to wear a helmet? No, that's not recommended. Yeah. I think it'd be hard to get him to wear a helmet.
I think it would really hurt his quality of life if he had a helmet.
Quality of life is real, you know?
Yeah, it is real. And he probably doesn't like, you know, by the sounds of it, he doesn't like wearing pants.
No, so that's a struggle. Piece of plastic on his head wouldn't.
Yeah.
Plus, sometimes I think he had an accident recently, a toilet accident, and he gets embarrassed. Like, it's funny, but like it's funny in the sense that it's, I wouldn't think of him as being embarrassed, but he gets embarrassed.
Right.
Like he gets like sheepish and you know, looking at the ground. So I know he knows. He's supposed to go to the bathroom and the toilet. So,
well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. But I think he would know that nobody else is wearing a giant helmet, and he is.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, if you could design it as giant headphones, maybe. But, that'd be great if you had, like, these giant headphones, and then they designed it so it'd have, like an airbag.
Front protection, too.
Like an airbag. Like, if he starts to shake too much, like, an airbag deploys to protect his head. You don't have those like avalanche backpacks that you wear, and then once it detects an avalanche that you fall in, it inflates and keeps you above the snow line. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing technology. So that's my week in review.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think that that chip in the brain thing is really interesting and amazing. Good luck. And I'm, you know, I think your kid, it's just, you know, it's nice that things are progressing. Is he happy?
Yeah, he's a good kid. He's happy. He's adapting well to his new surroundings. You know, he's in a new place and, it's going well. It's going well.
It's been a couple weeks now.
Yeah, it has. Place, and he, right? It's funny. His mom,
he's out in the woods.
we don't say it like that, but yeah.
No, but he likes nature. He's
yeah, he likes nature.
He's
like, but
he's
his
in
mom,
the countryside.
One of the problems we have is that he behaves better for everybody else but his mom. And so his mom messaged me and was like, yeah, he's been going to the bathroom and the toilet every day. Like he's been doing that his whole life. Like, and she like sent me a little eye roll emoji. So it's good though. I think, you know, he puts on his best face for, you know, strangers kind of thing. Like we all do, tries to make a good impression. So
interesting.
So it's, yeah, it's going
yeah, I'm
good.
Staying with my parents right now, waiting for this, you know, green card to come in the mail. And I'm a little rude to my parents sometimes. I'm like, I shouldn't be this rude. What am I? You know what I mean? You just end up being 17. You just turn into a 17-year-old.
You turn into kind of entitled, like, oh, it's my mom. But yeah, but she's still a human being. She's still, she doesn't want to be talked to like that.
I have to stop myself and be like, I wouldn't talk to anybody else. Why am I? You know, these people are being very nice to me. Why am I? I don't know. And they do the same thing to me.
So you're
treat
saying
me like a, so you're saying, like a little brat.
So you're saying my daughter's never going to grow out of it. I see what you're saying.
Well,
jokes,
yes.
Man, just jokes.
Yes.
Things well, I don't know if they treat you rude, but they probably treat you like you're 17 as well. So then you revert to 17 as well. That's funny.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, obviously it's not. I'm sort of half joking. I mean, mostly our relationship is 100% different than it was, you know, 18 years ago, 15 years ago. But it's. There are little tiny points here and there where we both get on each other's nerves, you know, but that's just natural. I think it's funny. I just think my analogy is it's really from my parents' perspective, it's really hard to treat somebody like an adult when you used to have to wipe their butt. It's just impossible to get that out of your DNA. You know, you're like, that's the guy who pees himself.
You're like, yeah, 25 years ago.
Yeah, but still, like,
I know. You know, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you remember, as a parent, you remember all this crazy stuff. Because everybody's
done. I don't remember.
Everybody's done so much crazy stuff. Like, if you interviewed, you know, I don't know, if Ben Franklin's dad, you'd be like, yeah, this is the kid who freaking. Can't get him out of bed on Saturday to help me outside. He's too sleepy. But he's a lazy, you know, it's like everybody has their stuff.
He's like, oh, you invented electricity. Well, whatever. You smeared poo on the wall when you were three.
I remember when I built that fence on the back 40 and you wouldn't get your candy ass out of bed to come help me dig. And I asked you repeatedly.
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I guess that's true. Well, should we do in the news?
Let's do in the news.
This is this is science news. This is taking antidepressants during pregnancy does not increase. It's on sciencenews.org, I should have said. Taking antidepressants during pregnancy does not increase the risk of autism or attention deficit disorder, hyperactivity disorder. Two new large studies suggest genetic or environmental influences rather than prenatal exposure to drugs may have a greater influence on whether a child will develop these disorders. These studies were published online April 18th on the GAMA. And then it goes on to explain that clinically, the message is quite reassuring for practitioners and for mothers needing to make a decision about antidepressants during pregnancy, says psychologist Simone Vigod, V-I-G-O-D, Vigod? No idea. A co-author of the study. Past research has questioned the safety of expectant moms taking antidepressants. Well, this is good news, I think, you know, because there's so much guilt and stuff about moms have about, you know, maybe I'm the reason that he was autistic because I did X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. So well, it's not this.
It's fantastic news.
Yeah. It's really great. It's really great.
Yeah. So guys out there, keep popping them.
If you need them, of course, not just for fun, not just at parties.
Yeah.
This is a big study too, which I always like when it's a large study to attempt to isolate the impact of the antidepressants on exposed children. Both studies relied on a big sample size and sophisticated statistical techniques. Mm-hmm. Here's the last name I can't pronounce. D'Onofrio's team looked at more than 1.5 million Swedish children born from 1996 to 2012 to nearly 950,000 mothers. More than 22,000 or 1.4% of these mothers reported using antidepressants, mostly selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors in the first trimester. Boy, I'm glad I'm not a scientist. The researchers compared siblings and families where the mother used antidepressants in one pregnancy but not the other. This helps account for all the factors that make siblings similar, their shared genetics and environment. Huh. In the siblings matchup, the children had essentially the same risk for autism, ADHD, and poor fetal growth, whether they're exposed to antidepressants in the room or womb or not. There remained a small increase of preterm birth among those exposed siblings compared to their unborn siblings. Well, that's good. That's great. That's really
great. It is really great. It's amazing how large of a study that was. Like how many mothers and years it took. It seems like they did their due diligence, and it is safe to take antidepressants. This just isn't some 10-person study, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really important for a lot of people. You know, a lot of people really depend on those pills, those drugs.
Which, you know, which brings us to our topic du jour, which is depression.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of sprung this this topic du jour on you a little bit, Graham, but I think it's a big one.
Well, we were talking off air a bit, and I think it's a good topic because, first of all, we haven't talked about it, and it's probably one of the biggest ones if you're like a parent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Maybe
why we haven't talked about it is because the point of this podcast, you know, is something that isn't depressing, a resource that isn't depressing. And we can we are going to try and talk about depression and not be depressing. How about that?
Don't think of pink elephants. Don't think of pink elephants. Don't think of pink elephants. No, but
what does that mean?
That's like one of those things where if you say it, like you tell somebody not to think of it, that's all they can think of. Like if I tell you, don't think of pink elephants, and then I'm quiet. Mm. What do you naturally do?
Well, I'm thinking of actually a white elephant, which is the second logo for the Oakland Athletics.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. But no, depression is something that a lot of parents deal with, especially statistically a lot of moms. You know, moms and dads deal with it a little bit differently. But you know, I have a little bit of experience with this with JJ's mom. And in fact, I was telling Grandma off air, she would like to be interviewed for to talk about it. So maybe she can talk on this a little bit. We'll set this up for another week. But I think it's important to if the person you're with is experiencing it, to seek help. I think it's one of those things that sometimes gets mixed up or convoluted in the conversation where you don't know, you know, you get so focused on the child or the sibling with autism or whatever, and you're trying to get them help that you can ignore some of the warning signs that you are feeling depressed. And I think it's important to seek help and not minimize that, belittle that or act like that's not real.
Yeah, 100%. I can't imagine. I'm not a parent. I'm a brother. And obviously the depression thing would be like way heavier on the parent side. It has like in terms of like being a sibling, you know, I don't think I've ever been depressed about it. I've certainly felt sorry for myself when I was, you know, like a 12-year-old, you know, and I wanted a normal brother, but
well, you wanted to have the normal experiences, I think. You wanted to have somebody to wrestle with or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. And
I know you love Peter very much.
I love Peter very much. I love him more than a lot of my friends love their brothers, and that's a fact. And
that's true.
You know, and he's the person I love most. It's just, you know, it super, super frustrating.
Yeah.
Why me? Why can't I have a brother like that I can share things with and play hockey with and, you know, and be friends with and talk about girls with and all, you know, everything, you know, like why, you know, that's the whole point of having a brother is like you have to share, it teaches you, you have to share stuff, but then you get a pal out of it, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just sharing and giving and not getting anything else, you know, and that's what I felt in the beginning. And then, you know, you grow up and you realize that you're actually way luckier than a lot of people, and he's the best. So, and he makes me happy every day talking to him. But it also puts my life in perspective and all this, blah, 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 all this stuff you guys already know and have already heard of before. But I don't think I've ever been super depressed, but I have been down in the dumps about it for over at least a couple years of my life, early on, though. Have you ever been depressed about it?
Yeah, I think so. I think you go through a period of mourning for the things you dreamed for of having, whether that's reasonable or you're being a baby or what, that's open for discussion. But I think a lot of fathers have like ideas of, you know, whether you want to play sports with your kid or you have, I'm going to teach him this or I'm going to teach him how to box or whatever. So I think, I don't think in general I'm really prone to it. So I don't think
you can teach me how to box.
I'd be afraid to teach. You're too big. Yeah, it might be a very painful experience for me.
Well, when you teach people to box, you don't get punched in the face.
Got those big mitts. Well, sometimes you do because you're holding up your hands. You're like, hit the mitts, and your instinct as a human being is to punch towards the face. So, I taught my daughter to box. So that was the substitute. But I think in hindsight, one of my big regrets in life is when JJ's mom experienced the debilitating depression, that I didn't take more action and push to make her get help. Because I think, not that it's on the other person, like people make choices, et cetera, but sometimes people have a hard time seeking help for themselves, and it'd be helpful for the other person to really put their foot down and insist and be like, I think you need to go see a doctor about this. And so, yeah, so if you're dealing with, if you or your spouse or your kid's parent or whatever, or your ex is dealing with depression, I would say seek help. I'd say it's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's normal. A lot of people deal with this. And somebody breaks an arm, people sign the cast. They're not embarrassed for that. So if your brain's not working exactly right, go seek some help. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, totally. Mental health, you know, as a society, we're making strides in creating more awareness, just like we are with autism awareness, and they go hand in hand sometimes, like your son's mother knows.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure we've had people who listen to this podcast who are parents and who have had depression as a result of the burdens of raising a child who has autism.
Yeah, and I think if you're predisposed to it, this is going to really exacerbate it, and yeah,
it's not going to help.
Yeah, it's going to really bring it to
certainly won't help.
Yeah, I was a little down, and then my autistic son's poop smearing really brought me out of it.
Really, yeah,
really encouraged me. Yeah, well, I think we did it, guys. I think.
Let's wrap it up. Let's just say, like, end on a positive note, and say, don't be afraid to ask for help, and don't be afraid to give help or offer help or say, hey, I've noticed some things. If it's your wife or husband or somebody else you know, or that seems to be a little down in the dumps, you know, it's for whatever reason, it's just hard, really hard to ask for help for mental health issues. And I don't know, people are happy to help most of the time. You'd be surprised. And you're going to make it. Everything's fine.
It's going to work.
Things get easier.
Yep. And I used to say this to my, when you're feeling down, if any of you are, I used to say this to my kid's mom, this isn't going to last forever. You're not going to always feel like this. Right now it feels desperate and lonely or whatever, but it's not going to always be like this. It just feels like it's always going to be like this, but it's not. So you don't have to accept that. Just remember, one day at a time, one day at a time.
Mm-hmm. It's your mantra.
It really is.
Kirk does it all the time.
I'm going to find a parking spot one day at a time.
Yeah, I mean, Kirk has good days and bad days, usually good, but then every once in a while, you know, something will be happening with his family, and I could see it on his face, and then he'll just he goes, whew, we can do this.
Breathe.
I can do this.
You got to breathe. You got to breathe. Know?
And then he goes play basketball, and he beats up some, like, 20-year-old. That's hilarious.
Oh, man.
He doesn't physically beat them up. He just, you know, roughs them up using basketball rules, slightly within the rules.
It's mostly within the rules. The ref has to make the calls.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. There's no ref. We're outdoors. That's not my fault.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Guys,
yeah, but we did it.
Guys, if you have a second, follow Graham K. Comedy on all the social media. Kirk Smith Comedy on social media. Also, you can buy my book online, Kirk Smith Comedian, if you want a signed copy. Tell me who you want me to sign it to and mail it to. I'd be happy to do that. What am I forgetting? Share this podcast. Yeah, that'd be great. If you could share it, we would love it. If you could rate it on
iTunes.
And
you could donate less than a cup of coffee a week. It's just $1 per episode at patreon.com. That's patreon.com/autastic. That really does help. That's it. I think we did it.
We love you guys. You can do it.